If the gray clouds in the sky had not suddenly split apart and released an explosion of rain, Jewel Fairchild would have chosen to walk back to the train station on the shady road between two walls of green shrubs and trees. It was really amazing that such peace and quiet could exist not many miles from the crowded streets where she lived and worked. But had this entire day not been amazing? Cassandra Wright, the owner and CEO of Wright Glassworks, had been riding her horse and, having come too close to a fence post, had hurt her leg. She would have to stay at home for a few days, an unheard-of occurrence at the Glassworks, where her dawn-to-dusk work ethic was legendary. Her efficient secretary had spent most of the day on the phone, as Mrs. Wright was directing the business from her home. Even though Cassandra had been married twice, she insisted on being called Mrs. Wright, because Wright was the name of her ancestors and her business. And the politically correct Ms. was way too trendy for her taste. When it was discovered, late in the afternoon, that an important paper required the CEO's signature, Jewel, who was a receptionist at the Glassworks, had been summoned by her supervisor and told to hand-deliver the document to Mrs. Wright's home. Although to call the place a home was to understate so totally the grandeur, the dreamlike otherworldliness of it, it was almost funny. Of course, Jewel had known that Mrs. Wright and her family wouldn't live in a hut, but she'd never seen anything like what she'd seen today. Now, as she leaned her head back on the seat of the car in which the Wright family gardener was driving her back to town, she went back over every moment of the last few hours, trying to fix them in her memory forever. First, there had been the train trip out of Wrightstown, the busy city that was named for the glassworks that gave it its reason for being. Cassandra Wright didn't live near her business. Of course not. She lived out in the country, where the air was pure and the nights were quiet. Jewel had walked from the train station. It hadn't started raining yet, and after about 15 minutes, she'd approached a big white house gleaming in the gray gloom of the day. Inside the house, everything gleamed, too. A woman who identified herself as the housekeeper had answered the door and led Jewel into the foyer, where she had a quick impression of glossy furniture, sparkling crystal, and photographs in silver frames. Light sparkled from a chandelier above her. On a wall opposite a sweeping staircase, there was a huge painting by some artist with a French name. The housekeeper led her through a series of hallways and rooms. In the main hall, a clock chimed like music. A rare treasure this clock was, according to the housekeeper. But by then, Jewel was beginning to realize that the word treasure described everything in this place. At first, she was too overwhelmed to do more than stare. But slowly, a need started to grow inside her to touch what she was seeing. As the housekeeper hurried her along, she dug a foot into the carpet to feel the depth of the silky nap. She allowed a finger to trace the back of a richly brocaded chair. If she could have, Jewel would have inhaled all of it. She would have done anything, anything to take all this gleaming beauty inside herself, to own it just for 1 second. There was only one object in the place that did not seem to gleam. Actually, she wasn't an object. She was a young girl, and she was sitting on a sofa reading a book. She, her book, and the sofa were all in the library, which was where the housekeeper had brought Jewel. "You can wait in here, and I'll get Mrs. Wright," she'd started to say to Jewel, but the girl had looked up, and the housekeeper had realized that they were not alone. "Oh, I'm sorry to disturb you, Miss Gwen. I didn't see you there," she said. The girl didn't seem surprised that she'd been overlooked. "This is a person from the glassworks come to give your mother a paper to sign," the housekeeper went on. "I'll put her in the sitting room." "It's all right," the girl said. "Let her stay." Her voice was light and soft, and there was a trace of something in it that Jewel wanted to say was snooty. She looked at the girl. This was Gwendolyn Wright, Cassandra Wright's daughter, her adopted daughter. In Wrightstown, the fact that Queen Cassandra had adopted this girl made her something of a celebrity, or at the very least, an object of curiosity. It took Jewel only a second to pass judgment on her. Miss Gwen, she decided, was dull. Her face wasn't exactly homely, but it was just like the faces that you see on the street when you walk around a city or go to a mall, and would not recognize if you were to see them again. Her hair was red, but not a vibrant shade. It was rather washed out. Her eyes were a nondescript brown. The only bright things about her were the gold bracelet glinting on one arm and the gold wristwatch on the other. She looked up at Jewel and nodded. "I'm sure Mother will be along any minute," she said. She hesitated, as if she was going to say something more, then changed her mind. Two pink spots flared in her cheeks, and she looked down at her hands, which were folded in her lap. And there her gaze stayed, while the silence in the room grew from being merely uncomfortable to downright insulting.